At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20 terms at ocado.com.
If you're constantly tired, if you feel like your body never fully is recharged after COVID, if you've tried supplements, diets, lab doctors, and nothing really sticks, this episode is for you. Because what if the problem isn't your week? If it's your nervous system, and maybe your nervous system is stuck in survival mode. If your nervous system is stuck in survival mode today, we're going to be talking about chronic fatigue. We're going to be talking about long COVID and how the nervous system regulation may be the missing piece. Now, today we have on our show Miguel, and Miguel is going to really give you some great information all about this. Now, Miguel, I am so happy to have you on the show. I really want to dive into this because I'm really excited because this is something that so many people struggle with. You know, can you tell us a little about yourself and, you know, say hello to the listeners?
Absolutely. Hey, Stacey. Well, first off, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. I've listened to your show, and what you're building here is something really special. And I just want to acknowledge you for that because I know what you're doing isn't easy. It takes a lot of time and hard work. But from that, you're creating a massive impact, and you have over 1,000 shows, which is awesome. So I'm very honored to be a part of it. And last thing before I jump in, for everybody listening right now, guys, just do me a huge favor. Go leave a 5-star rating and review on whatever platform you're tuning in from so that Stacey can impact even more people. I already did mine over on Apple Podcasts the other day, so come join me. But yeah, let's dive into things. My name is Miguel. I run CFS Recovery, and recovering from chronic fatigue syndrome and long COVID, things like fibromyalgia, it can be a very, you know, tedious and isolating, sometimes hopeless journey. And for you guys listening right now, if you do deal with these things, you know, you want nothing more than just to get back to who you used to be. And many people who are sick, they struggle finding answers that actually work while being told it's all in their head, and they just end up trapped in a cycle of surviving instead of just thriving, right? Losing years of their life to an illness. And so what I do is I help them fully recover using nervous system-based approaches and neuroplasticity therapy so they can get their lives back without relying on endless protocols that never seem to work. And just a little bit of background of me personally, I'm actually fully recovered myself from my own health journey. I dealt with 50 plus different symptoms myself. I was bedridden. I was hospitalized. I had to use a walker, a wheelchair. I really had to rebuild my life from scratch, and now I don't have any symptoms. And in the last few years, you know, we've helped thousands of individuals. We have 5,000 testimonials, 50 hours of case studies. And what I'm most proud of, though, is watching people cry tears of gratitude just for being able to feel the wind on their face again, or to spend time at the dinner table with family without pain and symptoms, or just to celebrate New Year's or go on vacations again, just rediscovering who they are beyond their illness. And you know what I find interesting? You know, people see my life now and they say, wow, how do you do so much? You can exercise, you can travel, you run an international health organization. Like, what's the secret sauce, Miguel? What's the secret medication or magic silver bullet? But I'll tell you one thing, Stacey, there's no exact one external fix that's going to fix this thing. And very grateful for my life. It wasn't always how it is today. And today I'm living my best life, and it's been a long, long journey to get here, which I'm happy to dive into.
I am so excited for you to dive into this. You know, a lot of people with chronic fatigue are told just get some more rest, you know, but resting doesn't mean, you know, seem to fix it for most people. It's actually happening in the body when someone feels exhausted, but wired. Isn't it true? It's usually inside the body.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is a common mistake that a lot of people make. You know, they're sitting on the couch all day or lying in bed because they feel like they have zero energy. Like, even turning over in bed or getting up to go to the washroom, that can just zap their energy. And I wonder how many people are listening to this right now who have that experience every single day. And ultimately, that really leaves you feeling powerless, feels you really, really desperate and hopeless. And you can start thinking that you're crazy, especially when the doctors aren't finding anything on the tests. So you start to feel like you're going crazy for sure.
And I've seen so many people go to the doctor and, they can't find anything. And, they'll send them home with maybe a pill to mask a symptom, and they have no clue what's going on with them. And they'll say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you, and people just feel hopeless, and it could really frustrate someone. And really, a person could just go right into like depression, because, you when you're suffering from any type of illness, if you suffer from a long-term illness and you don't feel like you're getting better, it could really damper the way you feel mentally and physically. And to have both those areas of your life, compensated is really a tough thing. Now, I also see that, sometimes a lot of people who are suffering from illness, what's exactly happening when you see like somebody there's they're, they feel exhausted, but they're wired. Like I know several people who have, illnesses there, and you could tell that their body is not that they're suffering, but yet they're like they're wired, they're consistently on the go, they're like that little train, that they said you couldn't, and you pulled the whole train set, what Thomas was it Thomas the Train? I can't remember, but what is actually happening in the body when that happens?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, what is actually happening to them to cause those symptoms to show up? And I think it's really important to first understand, like, how do they even get this in the first place? How does this all pop up? And here's what I see with people over and over again. And I want to be clear that I did all of this myself. So I'm not judging anybody. This is the path most of us take. But there's somebody listening to this right now who used to be the most driven, active person in their circle, the one who never sat still, always working, always moving, always showing up. Maybe they were an athlete. Maybe they were a top performer at work. They were the person that anybody in their circle could count on. And then something happened. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe it was years of pushing too hard. Maybe they don't even know what actually triggered it. But now, they've gone from this like high performer in life to somebody who can barely make it through a shower without needing to lie down. Or when the weekend hits, they are just flat on their back the entire weekend. And they've seen 10, 20, maybe 30 specialists, and they've spent thousands on supplements and treatments. Every test is coming back, quote unquote, normal. And they're just sitting there thinking, if nothing's wrong with me, why do I feel like I'm dying? Like this slow, painful, just decline. And they've also probably stopped making plans because they don't know if their body's going to cooperate. So they've watched birthdays and holidays and life just happens from the sidelines, and they just start to believe like that's who they are now. And Google doesn't help either because they'll look at it and it says there's quote unquote no recovery from chronic fatigue syndrome and a lot of long COVID cases as well. But what they don't realize is happening is it's kind of like there's just a software glitch in their brain. The brain is designed to keep us safe. And although it feels like our brain is trying to kill us sometimes, or our body's trying to kill us with the symptoms, it's actually not. It's actually doing the opposite. It's trying to protect people because what these symptoms are in place for is to protect people from overstimulating their nervous system even more. Because up to this point, it's been pushed to its absolute maximum threshold. We all have a maximum limit in our bodies. And once it hits that threshold, your body starts to give you alarm systems, which are like, brain fog, fatigue, anxiety, insomnia, heart palpitations. And so when that starts to happen, that's kind of the signal to slow down. But the problem is a lot of high achievers, type A personality folks, they feel these things and they say, well, I'm not weak. I'm not going to give into this. I'm going to go twice as hard. And that only exacerbates the symptoms. So then it can start a downward spiral, but essentially that's kind of what's happening. Your brain is trying to slow you down, save you from yourself. But if you don't realize that, because they don't really teach us anywhere, then, it can feel like your body's out to get you.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Now, many people try to push through fatigue. They have, a good day, they overdo it, and then they crash. What does this cycle, why does it keep happening over and over and over again?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, I made all of these same mistakes. And from what I've seen really three things that lead to people staying in that cycle, especially trying to push through it. Well, number one, first they chase diagnosis, which that actually needs to happen. Like that is the responsible thing to do. So they go from specialist to specialist, hoping somebody will finally tell them what's wrong. The neurologist, endocrinologist, infectious disease, they get all the blood work, the MRIs, the sleep studies, everything just comes back normal. So now they don't just feel physically sick, they actually feel like they're going crazy, like maybe they're making it up, right? So that's a dark place to be. The next logical step, step two of three, is usually they throw supplements and treatments at it. Hundreds, sometimes thousands or tens of thousands of dollars are spent on things that promise to fix their mitochondria or detox their liver, heal their gut, and they maybe get a little bit of a boost for a week, and then they're right back where they started, or worse, because now they've added the nothing works for me belief to their system, or they've added that to their belief system. And so that's when it leads to them trying to push through it, because that's kind of the only option they have. It's willpower. So they think, if I just exercise more, if I just be more positive, right, or power through like I used to, that they're just going to break out of this. But the problem with that is the brain will punish you for doing that. I actually don't even want to use the word punish. It will just respond with extreme measures and give you symptoms. Because the day you feel good and you say, okay, I feel good, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go enjoy my life. Boom. There's like several tougher days after that, or they crash. They're completely bedbound. So now they're terrified to try anything because they don't really know what's going to set them off. And I think at the root of all that, the reason these approaches don't work is they're treating the symptoms, but they're not addressing the root cause. And from what we've seen, the root cause, the source of this problem or these problems is a nervous system that's stuck in survival mode. So it's in like this chronic survival mode, but the body isn't actually broken. It's actually doing what it's designed to do when it perceives the danger. The problem is it doesn't know how to turn off. And I wonder how many people, are stuck in that cycle, because once you're in that cycle, it's very difficult to get out. It doesn't happen with time or amount of effort. It really comes down to doing the right things in the right order to really get out of that cycle.
It's so true. Now, what does, regulated pacing actually mean?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to go about it. A lot of people, they only focus on the physical things. Like they'll write down their symptoms, they'll write down how many steps they're taking each day, how many hours they're sitting up or on the computer for. And they'll look at those physical activities, which that is a good part of it, but there's a whole other side that most people miss, which is the cognitive and the emotional aspect of it. And actually, emotions are the most important thing with all of this. And I know there's people probably listening to this right now, like, what, Miguel? Emotions? What do you mean? Oh, I just think more positive and this is going to go away. Well, if you really look at this, the reason the doctors can't find anything wrong with the organs, or at least anything that explains what's going on, is because the organs are actually okay. The actual issue is with the brain and the way it's communicating to the body. So emotions can definitely, if they're negative emotions, it's like pouring fuel on the fire here and just igniting that survival mode. So the way to do it is, you want to look at different aspects of what you're doing physically, cognitively, and emotionally. And it's a bit tricky at first, but that's where we've built tools to analyze these things. We can actually see, how much are you addressing those other areas, but also what specifically should you stop doing in those areas and what should you introduce for those areas for your specific recovery?
Now, let's simplify this. So, when you say nervous system regulation, what does that actually mean in daily life? Not in theory or complicated science, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah. So I could give a few examples here on the physical side of things. Like I mentioned, like a lot of people, they'll set a certain goal of like, I'm going to walk 10 minutes every day, right? If you're feeling a lot of symptoms and you're flaring up, it is probably wise to not go for those 10 minutes. Like, cut it in half, dial it back a little bit, take your foot off the gas pedal in the physical sense. But I think even more importantly is the emotional side of things. That's where a lot of the regulation really happens. I remember, I was bedridden for 8 months straight, spoon-fed by my 75-year-old grandma, and for 2 months I was in the hospital. And this is going to tie into the point, to the tip I'm going to make. But essentially, all I was focusing on was the physical stuff, and I was getting worse and worse and worse. I thought just resting more would allow me to heal. I thought time would help me. But anyways, I was getting worse and worse. I couldn't feed myself. I was basically drinking blended food in the hospital, and they were actually going to send me home from the ICU. They said, "Your organs are fine, Miguel. Like, you're not going to die. So we either send you home, or if you want, there's extra beds in the psych ward if you want to work with a psychiatrist." And I was like, "Really? I'm not crazy, though. Like, I can talk to you. I'm here." But I didn't really have a choice because I can't go back home. I'm just going to rot away. So I agreed reluctantly, ended up staying in the extra beds in the psych ward as a volunteer. They said I could go home anytime, but that's where I met my doctor. And basically, when I started working with him, I was completely bedridden. Within a week, I was sitting up in a wheelchair feeding myself. Within a week of that, I was using a walker. Within a week of that, I was, walking on my own 2 feet, and I was 22 years old at this time. But the thing that allowed me to make that progress was this one idea. And it was the idea that your success in recovery is determined by how well you respond to symptoms. Because most people think it's an external fix. They think it's a supplement or medication or some magical treatment they fly to like Switzerland for, hop in some chamber powers them up or something. But really the answer is within. Like, that's where the magic will happen. And he essentially said, "Miguel, I know what's going on. You're not gonna die. It's very uncomfortable. It feels like that's gonna happen, but all you have is a hypersensitive nervous system, and we just need to update that software, if you think about it that way. Like, your hardware is actually okay. It's functioning. That's why you're lungs, you feel like they're not working sometimes, but they're actually okay in scans. Your heart palpitations, your heart's fine. So it's really responding well to symptoms. So tying it back to, some examples of this in daily life. A lot of people, I think almost everybody's had this experience. Who's dealing with this? You go up a flight of stairs, you're out of breath, your heart's pounding, you start to feel dizzy, and you're thinking, "Should I call an ambulance? Like, are my lungs shutting down? Am I going to have a heart attack?" Right? And you're just terrified, right? And essentially, what you want to do instead of asking yourself those things and downward spiraling is you want to treat the emotions, or you want to combat the emotions with logic. And you want to remind yourself that, hey, this is just a glitch in my brain. It's a hypersensitive nervous system issue. It's going to feel uncomfortable, but it's not going to kill me. Right? And the better I respond to these symptoms, the faster they're going to go away and the stronger I'm going to get, essentially. So that's one example. And you could apply that to stepping out of a car or doing the dishes, because the smallest things feel like running a marathon for these folks. Almost everything causes you to flare up, and you just want to treat those flare-ups just like it's just a scientific reaction in the body. It's not out to get you. It's not bad. It's not trying to hurt you. It's trying to protect you, actually. And that's when everything changes.
Wow. So if someone was listening right now in bed, exhausted, discouraged, like what are the three things they can start this week without pushing themselves into another crash?
That's a great question. And I was in that same position as well. Like for those several months, it was just staring at the ceiling every day because I couldn't do much.
Yeah.
And the thing with that situation is you do start to lose hope. And I wonder if anybody's ever told them that, the fix is actually simpler than it seems. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just
Right.
a few things you really have to focus on that's going to help you get to thriving health. And there's a lot of people who think that I need to add on 10 different protocols and all these different supplements, and I need to do everything perfectly in order
Yeah.
to heal. And ultimately, that leads to them almost creating way too long of a to-do list. It feels like
Yeah.
a full-time job. And then they can get very frustrated because it's really hard to stick to a plan when your body doesn't allow you to execute that plan. And so instead of doing that, I think there's really three things that people can focus on that can make
Yeah.
the most progress. Number one, you want to feed your brain as much as you can in terms of understanding what's going on, because you can't actually fix something if you don't know what to fix, right?
Exactly.
You want to treat this as kind of one overarching issue, not 50 different symptoms and 50 different problems. Now,
Right.
are there 50 different symptoms? Yeah, right? On paper, on the surface level, yes. But ultimately, they're coming from the same root cause. So, simplifying things, treating it as a hypersensitive nervous system, as long as you've had your tests and scans done and the doctors have cleared you, they don't know what to do with you,
Yeah.
then I would treat this like one issue, actually. So right off the bat, that simplifies it. Number two, it's really understanding what's going on, especially if you're bedridden. You can't really do anything physically. So instead, you have to address like the mindset. And the only way to really do that, like the best way to do that, is for it to make logical sense, where it becomes like, okay, recovery is kind of like a formula. It's not just up to luck or willpower or time. Like I actually have control over some of these things. So understanding that your brain is trying to protect you, and you could do this by listening to podcasts like this. If you
Yeah.
can, watch recovery stories, watch certain YouTube channels. Like for us, I have 1900 videos on my YouTube channel talking about every single symptom you could think of, every roadblock, and just listen to it on repeat, because that
Yeah.
in itself is like updating the software in your brain to understand this. So it's less
Right.
scary. So that's number two, is understanding it. And number three, I think it's actually obviously not being too hard on yourself, right? Because it's very easy to make some progress, and then the moment something feels off, the moment you start to get symptoms, to kind of just go back to the old mindset of I'm relapsing, I'm back to square one, I screwed up, I shouldn't have done that. So if you can be more patient with yourself, and also just th this can actually help it. It's understanding that the symptoms are the opportunity. That kind of is the way out. Like that is your window of opportunity to teach your brain that you're actually going to be okay. But in
Right.
order to say that to yourself, you need to believe it and understand it. So
Yeah.
reframing the way you see symptoms, especially when you're bedridden, that is the most important thing, because we've worked with a lot of people who are bedridden right now. And we can't even work directly with them. We have to work through their family because they can't even talk. Like blindfold, earplugs, blackout curtains 24/7. But once they get started, those same people, like we've had them in the past, they're skiing within a year. They're going on vacation again. They're working. They're like fully integrated back into the life, and not
Yeah.
just back to where they were before, but even better than before. That's a 2.0 version of themselves.
That's amazing. Now people will always want quick fixes, but the nervous system healing doesn't work like a pill. So what does gradual consistency, how does that outperform aggressive protocols?
Yeah. And when it comes to something like this, that is the trap people fall into. It's like quick fixes, overnight successes, and they want it fast. It's like a very intense approach. The interesting thing is that's probably why they're here in the first place anyways. It's because that's kind of how they approach life. So for those individuals, they're searching, trying everything frantically to look for solutions, right? Because they're desperate. And the thing is, they also hop from different solution to solution. So they'll try something, doesn't really work, but they're also giving it like 20% of their energy because they're very limited. It doesn't work after 2 weeks. They hop to something else and something else. And it's kind of like when you try to water some plants. It's like you could water 10 plants with one bucket, or you could water three plants, right? Three plants are probably going to grow if you focus on those versus spreading yourself too thin. So it is a mistake I see a lot of people make. But I lost my train of thought. What was the question again? The original question?
So I was asking, why does gradual consistency outperform
Yes.
aggressive protocols?
Yes. Gradual consistency. It's kind of like working out, training your nervous system or retraining your nervous system and recalibrating it, going from very debilitated to functional. It's very similar to working out. Now, I used to be a personal trainer, and I think this is why it clicked so well for me and it made perfect sense. And this analogy, it helps like almost everybody we work with because it makes sense. So let's take an analogy, for example. If you were to go to the gym and you wanted to do 100 push-ups, you wouldn't just do that right off the bat. You'd start with 10, and then afterwards you'd probably feel a little bit sore after, right? Then you take a few days off, you take a break, because if you don't take a break and keep doing it back to back, you'll probably get injured. So what you do is there's like phase one, you work out. Phase two, you get sore, you recover, you give yourself time to adjust. And phase three is you actually get stronger. And so the way most people approach recovery is they'll have a decent day, they'll get this small burst of energy, and they'll think like, okay, now is my time to cash in on this energy. I've been so patient for the last few weeks. It feels like I just escaped from a prison. So let me enjoy the time, the limited time that I do have, right? The problem with that is that's like going to the gym and trying to hit your max without warming up, without ever working out. And so people can end up crashing if they go too fast too soon. And that's why you want to build it up little by little. We actually call it progress cycles. And in recovery, it works very similar. You increase activity, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, and that's something we help people with as well. Like we give them personalized plans. But you increase activity, you're probably going to have a flare up, like 99% chance. And that's another mistake people make is they try to avoid symptoms at all costs, thinking they're bad, but it's part of the process. It's like trying to get stronger without ever feeling sore. Well, you'll never get stronger if you don't get sore. So you increase activity, you have some kind of flare up that's manageable, and then you dial it back, you take it easy, and then as your body recalibrates, it might take a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks, but your nervous system will start to normalize. And essentially, you repeat that progress cycle dozens and dozens of times throughout your recovery journey. But just like working out, you don't want to go in there and be a superhero and think you're Superman and try to max out and use all your energy, which is what most people do. That's what I did for years, because that'll only make you get worse and worse. And so that's the right way to do it. It's gradual over like way too intense.
I agree 100%. I think we're in a society where everybody wants quick fixes, and it's just nothing that happens quick is ever good. And it takes time, especially when it comes to recovery. Now, how do you keep hope and alive during slow recovery?
Yeah, hope is a big thing here. Like that is, I think, one of the foundational things to focus on, because without that, I mean, it's very difficult to follow through on everything else. And so number one, I think it's actually something people need to stop doing, because I wonder how many people on here, like if you're listening to this, you've spent more time Googling your symptoms than actually living your life. Like if you canceled plans at the last minute because you didn't know if your body would cooperate,
Right.
I want you to know that's not a character flaw. That's not weakness. That's like your nervous system wanting to do
Yeah.
those things. And so a lot of people, when it's 2 a.m. and they can't sleep and their heart's pounding and they're desperate for answers, they'll go Google their symptoms.
Yeah.
And we all know Google. Like if I Google a mosquito bite right now, it's going to show somebody's face falling off, right? Which
Right.
is, it's extreme cases. And the problem is when you're feeding your mind those kind of things, like it will be terrifying. You'll see like the worst of the worst. You search up heart palpitations on Google at 2 a.m. when you have heart palpitations. I mean, I don't need to tell you to imagine how that's going to go. You know, because you guys have had that before. So it leaves you feeling terrified and frustrated. You really want to feed your mind positive things, right? And that's why we have so many recovery interviews on our channel, like 50 plus hours of case studies of people, probably like the worst cases you've ever heard of, couldn't get out of bed for years, like thought their life was over. Doctor said they couldn't recover. When you hear people who have been through that, especially when you think you're the worst case ever, you think you're the only case who's dealing with this. Yes, your case is unique, but there are some pretty insane stories out there. I mean, I just interviewed a lady last week. She's 86 years old. She had symptoms for 50 plus years, and she's getting better at 87. She said this is the happiest she's ever been. So when you see powerful stories like that, when you see people going from bedridden to skiing down mountains with zero symptoms, then it just shows you that, hey, maybe I'm not so different. Maybe there is actually a way out. And maybe there is an approach I can follow. Maybe I can have my life back and one day walk down the beach or go on vacation and just enjoy quality time with my family without worrying if my body's going to keep up. And there is a version of you, I want to let you guys know that, that 2.0 version of you who does have all of that. And I know because I've lived it. So that's, I think, how you just inject hope into your journey. It's seeing other people do it, listening to their stories, and also getting rid of the baggage of like the Googling symptoms on the forums, because that's a big one. That is like, that's what can keep people stuck for a long time.
Oh, 100%. Now, a lot of people start to believe this is who I am now. How important is identity when it comes to recovery?
Identity is absolutely massive in recovery. And, having been through this process, having gone from somebody who was a very high achiever, like I was a top performer at work, straight A's, honor roll student. So that's who I identified as like, okay, this guy knows how to live life to the fullest. He gets stuff done, very proud of all the achievements. When you go from that to being very sick, and you can't even feed yourself and get out of bed, like it starts to really feel like a bad dream. And you can experience a lot of dissociation because you're thinking, if I'm not that person, my whole life I was that person, that dude or that girl who got it done. If I can't even feed myself, who am I? So you're kind of like, you go from this high achiever, persona to almost like a blank slate where you're trying to figure out what you even are. And then over time, as you try to do things and it doesn't work, as you get more and more symptoms and more life is stripped away from you, the more you do identify as that sick person, that helpless person, powerless, hopeless many times. And that can become very sticky because that's who you are. I mean, in reality, that's kind of who you are, right? The situation. And so, what can really snap you out of that is just reframing the way you see what's going on. Because I think for most people, with all the tests and scans and doctor's appointments and nothing coming back conclusive, you really start to feel like you are actually broken. Like there's something severely wrong with you, and this is not curable, this is not fixable, especially what you read on Google. But the moment you realize this is actually a simpler fix than you've thought it was, the moment you realize, like, oh, I'm not actually broken, there's just a glitch. It just reframes the entire problem, which then makes solving the problem so much more doable, especially if tens of thousands of people have recovered from the exact same thing you've had. And so that's something we talk about a lot with people. It's like, how do you switch that mentality, that mindset, that identity? And you'll recover in your mind and the way you see yourself before you do physically. That's always what we've seen. Like, first comes the confidence, then comes the competence. But yeah, it's once you realize that this actually isn't as complex of a fix as you think, it's a lot easier to look at yourself as like, oh, it's just a glitch in the nervous system. I'm actually not broken. This is fixable. Then you see those glimmers of hope again.
That's amazing. Now, what mindset helps people improve without pressuring themselves?
Yeah, pressure. That's another really great topic. I think naturally, the people who get this are the types of people to add on a lot of pressure, especially when the stakes are high. For most of the people I've seen with this, 99% of them, it's very rare I see someone without this, but leading up to getting these, developing these symptoms, like I said, they're type A personality, overpusher, a lot of pressure on themselves, not necessarily from other people, but the pressure they put on themselves. And so if they're so used to going through life, go, 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 and having their mind so driven and focused on something, when you take those things away, well, guess what? That mindset actually translates to recovery. So now they're like, I need to succeed at recovery. I need to do everything perfectly. I'm gonna do everything in my power, including Googling for several hours a day to try to find a solution. And any small thing, like any symptom, any inkling of something not going perfectly right, they're going to be extra hard on themselves. So I think if people realize, like, oh, that's one of those things that got me into the situation in the first place, okay, I should probably do less of that, but it's still a habit. So they need to catch themselves when you guys are flaring up and then you're sitting there thinking, I really shouldn't have done that. I screwed up. Man, I suck. I'm horrible at this thing called recovery. I'm actually like a failure. Like you could get in your head, but that becomes this feedback loop. Because the more symptoms you feel, the more negative the mindset, the more pressure you put on yourself, and then the more the symptoms increase. So there's pressure in that sense, but also pressure when it comes to timelines. I see a lot of people, they say, I need to recover by summer. I need to recover by Christmas or 2027, I better be perfect, zero symptoms. The problem with that is you start anticipating as the date gets closer to that, right? And you start worrying more and more, like, am I on track? Am I doing the right things? Like, you just get way more antsy. And that antsy feeling that leads to more symptoms. So ultimately, trying to recover faster and trying to put pressure on yourself to perform well and succeed, while that may have worked in other areas of life for really great things and achievements, that actually can work against you in recovery. And so that's where it really helps to, actually be surrounded by other people who are more regulated and who used to think that way, but now they're a lot more chill about things. Like that's why we have so many group calls in the community. And we actually have the community where you just get that whole vibe of like, hey, let's not rush through this thing. Let's actually fix this right, so we fix it once and for all. Right. So it's really quality over quantity here.
I love that. Now, if there is three key points that you want listeners to walk away with today, what would those be?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many golden nuggets, that I could share. I think one of the biggest things is, obviously understanding that recovery is possible, but there are a few myths I want to just completely dispel, because I think if this clicks with people, they're going to walk away from this a lot more hopeful. Number one, we talked a lot about, changing your mindset, changing the patterns in your brain. A lot of people think my mind has always been overactive. Like, this has been who I am my whole life. If I change that, will I change my personality? Right? This is just how I'm wired. So they believe that their overactive mind is their identity, right? When someone suggests that they calm their mind or change things, they start to panic because, are they going to lose their edge, right? Do I have to become a completely different person? No. I know it's terrifying because you feel like you're losing yourself.
Yeah.
You're exhausted from having 47 browser tabs open in your brain all the time. But really, what this whole journey is doing for you guys is when you're in it, it's the hardest thing ever, and you think it's a curse. It's not until you get to the other side that you see it as a blessing and one of the greatest gifts, because this is like the ultimate extreme crash course on personal development. So once you get through this, you are going to be the absolute best version that you could ever even imagine, because you're coming out with all these tools and gratitude for life that you never would have had if you didn't get sick. And
Right.
so if you can see this darker chapter of life as just kind of like it's kind of like the rebirth of the 2.0 version of yourself, and know that there is something better coming, I think that just naturally injects hope for you. Number two, it's like I said, really educating yourself and feeding your mind the right things. So
Yes.
get off of Google, stop monitoring your heart rate unless your doctor says you have to. Take off the heart rate monitor, right? Focus on responding well to symptoms and understanding what's happening, what's causing these symptoms, which is a hypersensitive nervous system. And number three, we talked about it earlier, but just don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back. It's really not easy what you're doing. Like you're going through one of the hardest things I think a human can go through. Like there's no known answers for this stuff, or they're very rare. So there's a lot of uncertainty in what's going on. Like you really have to even be listening to a podcast like this. Like it takes a lot, because you need to have hope after all these other things didn't work. So, don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing the best you can, and it's just a matter of time before
100%.
things line up and you get your life back.
Definitely, definitely. Can you tell us some of the services that you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a range of different services. Most of the stuff we do is absolutely free. Like I said, 1900 plus videos on the YouTube channel. We have different levels of communities we have. Our highest level community, that's where we work directly with somebody one-on-one, and we'll create a personalized recovery plan based on their diagnostic assessment. So it's something we've created. We look at their symptoms, their history, activity levels. And we've used this across thousands of clients. So we see patterns in all different types of cases and symptoms. So we know what to avoid at a certain stage. We also know what to implement at a certain stage for specific symptoms. And so when you have that kind of safety net in your back pocket, it just makes a huge difference. It's kind of like having someone there right there with you in the trenches who's actually recovered from CFS. And they're there guiding you every step of the way. And really the ultimate goal with people, it's to teach them what's happening so that way they can take the information and they never need our help in the future because they never get this again. So a few things we do, but I actually prepared something special for this podcast. Because Stacey, one thing I love about you is you're constantly showing up for your audience and giving massive value. So that inspired me to do the same. I want to give everybody listening here something I've never offered before, at least publicly. All right, what I'm about to share is something that is only reserved for our highest level premium members, but I wanted to give it to you guys. My clients might actually be upset I'm giving this away, but I wanted to over deliver for your audience. So it's something called the Recovery Roadmap Kit. So first of all, who is this for and who is it not for? This is not for somebody who just wants a magic pill or a quick fix or something to cure them overnight, right? Recovery is a process. It does take work. It's not for someone who isn't willing to look at things differently. So, if you've decided that nothing can help you and that you've tried everything and your situation is somehow different from the thousands of other people who have recovered from this, I can't override that belief. You do have to be open. But who is this for? It's for Somebody who's dealing with CFS or long COVID or chronic symptoms, and you feel like you're doing all the right things, following the advice, trying protocols, resting when you're told to rest, but nothing is actually moving the needle, and it has you leaving confused, has you feeling confused and frustrated, second guessing every decision, this is for you. Because what most people don't realize is recovery isn't about doing more. It's about doing the right things at the right stage. And if you don't know what stage you're in, you end up wasting precious energy or making things worse without even knowing it. So here's what you have access to. It's two parts. Part one is called a recovery stage identifier. It's a very short diagnostic that shows you exactly where your nervous system sits on the recovery timeline, why you what you've been doing hasn't worked, and what you should actually be focusing on right now.
Yeah.
So for most people, that alone is the biggest relief they felt in months. No more guessing, no more random trial and error. It just makes things very clear. And lastly, part two is what I'm most excited about, and it's called a personalized recovery report. So this is the exact tool we use with our premium clients. It's never been available outside that program, but it's a detailed personalized analysis based on your responses that maps out the specific patterns keeping your nervous system stuck, right? And it shows you what you need to change, what you need to double down on, and also the exact order that it needs to happen. So it's a decision-making framework for recovery that you get to keep. So I've set up a page specifically for this podcast. It's at www.cfsrecovery.co/advisor. I just please ask that you don't share it around. For you listening right now, this is specifically for you guys listening. So if you're ready to stop guessing and just start recovering, go from surviving to thriving, just head over to cfsrecovery.co/advisor right now. It's right there for you to grab it.
I love it. That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much. That is amazing. And, you know, for just tell your website once again for everybody so they know where to go.
Yeah. So it is www.cfsrecovery.co/advisor. And also on YouTube, if you just search up CFS Recovery on YouTube, we'll pop up there. Got almost a couple thousand videos on there. Almost any situation you could think of in recovery.
That is awesome. I got to tell you, Miguel, this has been amazing. I think what you're doing is wonderful. I think you're helping so many people. I think so many people struggle every day, and to have to wake up not feeling like you can't even get out of bed, feeling, you know, depressed because, you know, there are parts of your body that aren't functioning well. You know, after a while, you know, all these different symptoms, COVID, everything, it really takes a toll on people mentally and physically. And it can, you know, like people, you tend to lose hope after a while and you don't want that. So you're really giving people a second chance at life. And I really thank you so much for doing what you're doing. You know, you took a crisis that, you know, something serious that happened to you, you overcame it. And now you're giving back to the community by helping others who have gone through similar situations, and you're helping them get that second chance at life. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you for just being you. And I really appreciate you and everything you're doing. And for the listeners, you know, chronic fatigue and long COVID are not a character flaw. They are biological signals. And when you understand the nervous system, you stop fighting your body and you start working with it. And if this episode has helped you feel and something that you feel a sense of hope, that you feel seen, or you gave, it gave you clarity, make sure that you follow the podcast so you don't miss the conversations like this. We focus on real solutions, not just information. And thank you so much once again, Miguel, for coming on the show and providing them with real solutions. I thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and for everybody listening. Keep on going. You got this. You know, your life is on the other side of this waiting for you. And I can't wait to see you guys at the top.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. You have a great day, Miguel.
Thank you.